Sundays are a day for contemplation. Sometimes I find myself contemplating a little less and talking a little more than I used to. In many ways, that's not a good thing to do. I think it's wise to be reserved. Unfortunately, I don't think it is my job to be very wise. I've got a very wise wife. And hopefully between the two of us, our collective level of wisdom is sufficient. This morning I woke up and I was thinking about baseball. Now, I don't know how popular baseball is anymore. I'm not a spectator of sports. I don't follow professional sports. I was exposed to baseball early. Some of my biggest traumas in life are connected to baseball. When I used to play Little League as a little guy, they didn't play by different rules for Little League than they did for the big leagues. Still 9 innings, you had to get 3 people out. That was the tricky part, you know, before innings changed, before the game ended. The game would last forever because the biggest problem was little bitty kids couldn't get out. Now, we couldn't get much of anything else either. It wasn't a ton of hits, and there wasn't a ton of, strikeouts because you didn't have a very good pitcher. He was always throwing balls. There was just a whole entire universe of reasons why the Little League games when I was a kid would stretch on for 5 hours. I'm a scatterbrained person, wasn't into. This is something that I've been from the very beginning. I don't know if that mattered so much in baseball, but they put me out in left field, which, if you don't have good batters, and there was only probably a couple of good kids that could bat, only a good batter could actually hit the ball to left field. So that was why they stuck me out there. It's where the worst baseball player was. And they would sit me out there, and I'd be out in the field for an hour and a half waiting for 3 outs to come so we could so the inning would end and we could switch places and I could go and sit in the dugout and basically be a really rotten baseball player. Be an even worse batter. Regardless. I would wet my pants. That was just horrifying. I had been taught by my mother more than anything else that peeing your pants was a deeply embarrassing thing to do, and that's true. It is. I mean, that's just a comment. And so I don't know how interested I am in baseball anymore. I never stuck with it very long, so I never really got terribly good at it. Um, my brother and I played catch. I don't know if I ever played catch with my dad. I don't know. Regardless. But you can look at life, and I guess I did this morning in kind of my weird transition period between sleeping and waking. And that's usually when a lot of inspiration comes. The day before, we've been talking about my daughter, Sina, the eldest daughter, who has taken an entirely different course. For my part, the course of just foolishness, mostly just walking away from the purposes of life, especially for a woman. I was probably not a good example for playing by the rules. I always found other ways to play, but I stayed in the game. And I don't think it was because I had some great understanding or great wisdom. I just stayed in the game. And Shayden has decided not to even be in the game at all. Decided to go off to some corner with some other people and decide not to play the game at all. And that's her choice, but that doesn't mean that I have to respect it at all. And I don't. And I don't. Along with the same group that says you have to unconditionally love your children, which I don't. But I think that whole concept is a little weird. I will always think of Shayna. I will always try to work toward her betterment and her welfare in as much as I can. And she's pretty much told me that she's gonna take me to the law, and it's a law that is very transphilic. It loves trans people. And I know that if I get drunk before the law, I will get drunk. I will get destroyed. And the sad part is, nothing else would probably bring my daughter more joy than to see me eviscerated. And that saddens me a lot. That's sick. I don't think I had anything but good for my daughter while she was still my daughter. I guess if you don't know, she decided that she was going to be transgendered. And recently had her breasts removed, and she's taking testosterone. I think it's the gosh darn silliest waste of time, money, resources, effort, everything. But it's what she's done. And I disapprove of every single thing of it. And I say so loudly. I don't want other people doing this. I don't want them to think that they're okay, that this is acceptable behavior. It is not. At least it's not acceptable to me. It's not respectable. It's not good. It flies in the face of nature, and it flies in the face of God. And I'm sorry, I work for God. I'm not saying I'm a fantastic worker for God, but I work for God. Generation upon generation, I'm a priest of the Aaronic Order, my God is the God of the Old Testament. And this is a deep, deep sin against God and His plans for you, the reason why He sent us to earth in the first place. Do you have your choice? Yes, you can choose to do this. And to think that she does it with great anger and spite and piss and vinegar is just, she thinks I'm going to back off and say, okay, I'm going to take, society's path now, which is, I don't want to be said, something said bad about me because I'm a wonderful person. I will respect trans people and gays and lesbians and all those wonderful people. And you go, I'm sorry, I call bullshit. It's all bullshit. And it accomplishes nothing. I would use a lesser term, but that would not be accurate. It's all garbage. And it accomplishes nothing. And to respect it is wrong. It should not be respected. So, here comes what came to my mind. I thought I had pretty much gone past this for another day. It comes up quite often because it's so visceral. I'm sorry. I invested a lot of time, effort, in my life into the development of this child and her wholesale throwing out of the religion I taught her, the attributes of God that I inculcated into her, and her total wholesale rejection of it is a slap in the face. And I'm sorry. She's wrong. She is immensely wrong. And as life turns against her, as other bad attributes, like dishonesty, continue to haunt her, because I hope in the time that we have had no communication, because I'm not going to be taken to law against what I consider to be a borderline corrupt system. I'm not going to throw myself at the mercy of the court, because I think it's going to mostly err on her side. And so I'm not going to challenge her. But I am most certainly going to say, don't respect it, don't like it. Let's get back to baseball, pardon me. So it came up. Life is like a baseball game. And you gotta play it to win. You gotta play it to win. Now, it's not like baseball in that it's not a team sport. You've got to play it. You can't just have the team jersey on. And expect that to win you through. Anyway, so, there's a deer. Pretty good sized doe, looks like. going across the street. Makes pretty good eat, gotta tell you. That's one thing deer are good for. Otherwise, they just tear things up, eat trees, do all kinds of stuff. I mean, they're God's creatures and all that, but yeah. People say, ooh, I would love to have deer coming around my house, so in the mornings when I get up, I see deer, and you go, if you have a guard, you don't want to see that. Hunting deer is wonderful. Now, you don't want to over-hunt them. That's a bad idea. But, anyway, sorry. Baseball! The purpose for living is to do your best to play a good game of baseball. It's an analogy. Okay? Hang with me here. Because I think there's some good things to get out of this. In order to succeed at all in playing baseball, you've got to step up to the plate, and you have to swing that bat at whatever gets pitched at you. Sometimes it's okay to be walked. Sometimes it's okay to wait for the good pitches. But when push comes to shove, especially if they think you might be a good batter, even if the balls aren't terribly good and doesn't life serve us, not perfect pitches, don't we all come into this world with trouble, with limitations, some with obvious handicaps? Isn't that always what happens? But the great part is alongside those troubles, we're also given talents. Now in the game of baseball, of course, if that's all life entails, which this little analogy that is, that's all life entails, they're going to be baseball skills. Either you're a good hitter, or you steal bases really good, or you're an awesome catcher, or you can't be any of these. The skills are in you. I would say skills. The talent is there. It may need to be cultivated. The skills are there. It's within us. If you have both of these things, you have limitations and you have talents. And one of the great rules of life is that you overcome. There's several ways to overcome things. You overcome those limitations, handicaps, anything like that, in whatever manner you have available to you. If you're not a very good fielder in baseball, the person that catches the ball throws back in. So, cultivate other things. There's several roles to play. Shortstop, pitcher, catcher. Some guys don't even go on the field. They become pinch hitters for other players. Certainly a hitter. I think, you know, baseball has its roots in cricket, I guess. And and you play and batting is something that people do. Everybody does it. Everybody comes up to bat.
This is
from my understanding, frankly. Okay, I can't believe you're not lucky socks. That's exactly what you hear from my daughter. She's always coming up and saying, no, I get to be the exception. I get the exception. I'll have to play by those rules. Stuff like that. And if you can do that, then guess what? You're not playing the game. Nobody's going to cheer for you. You're going to end up being some kind of marginalized person with nothing. It's sad to say Shayna has some wonderful skills and attributes, and I'm sad to say that they're being, I am concerned that they are being horribly squandered. But time will tell, and I will wait and see. Leadership, I think she has an almost amazing penchant for leadership. Every talent, every skill we have can be used for both good and ill. There are no truly gendered There are no skills that are just, oh, well, that one's good. It can never be used for evil. Or, oh, that one's evil. It can never be used for good. I don't believe that. I always told Shayna, she has the potential to be a great storyteller. And I hope to try, when she was younger, I tried to put her into circumstances where she would have experiences so she would have plenty of fodder on which to build stories. For writing or for telling, she's got wonderful skills this way. She's got wonderful skills in artwork. Given the circumstances of our day, animation or fine art, art mixed with story are powerful, powerful devices for which you can accomplish good or evil. I always wanted her to use these things and to cultivate them. She went to school for art. And I was happy. I was a little worried sometimes. She went to school for art. And, you know, there aren't a lot of art jobs at all. Something like advertising, which is kind of bizarre, and I'm not sure. I have always found it a little tricky by nature. Anyway, we all have these talents, and the problem thing is do we use talents to good effect? On the baseball field, it would be to take whatever talent you have for whatever position you're in, shortstop, first base, pitcher, catcher, fielder. To use it to good effect. People, me especially, always respect effort. even if you don't really accomplish things very much, the fact that, let's go back to baseball analogy, you continue coming up to bat. You continue to go out there and swing at the balls as they're pitched. Even if they're not the best pitches, the whole point of the pitcher is to get that ball past you, one way or another. Now, his tendency is not to let you walk. Doesn't want to be in the position of being a pitcher that lets people walk too much. So he wants to slide some pitches past you. Spitballs, curveballs, whatever. Pitches are dang fast, you can't even hardly see it. That's a favorite. And of course, there's always one. Do we call them the beanball? Where they would actually throw the ball at you to try to hit you? Mostly to spook you. It's hard to concentrate on hitting a ball if in the back of your mind you got in your head that he could bean you with the ball. Especially if you've got a reputation. Can I be honest? When you're batting in the game of life, the pitcher on the other team is Satan, is evil. And he's going to pitch all kinds of balls at you and see if he can spook you out of the batter's box, or get you never even to swing. That's his biggest goal. You can't hit the ball if you don't swing. And so that really ends up being the analogy here. It isn't so important if you're a fantastic batter and everything, that every single ball you get pitched, you send out into the stands, a home run, well, party day. Isn't that great? Good for that batter. But you know what? It's okay if you're not that kind of batter. It's okay. Although we are hearing a lot, and I heard this from Shayna especially, you hear an awful lot. Well, I got dealt some really bad pitches. You go, yeah, so. You didn't encourage me then. You didn't do all that, you know. I could have been a great major league player, but I couldn't be because you didn't give me all the things I needed to be a home run slugger. So I'm going to give up. No, then I forgot to teach you something. I don't think I did, but I don't think you took it to heart. Maybe I didn't do a very good job putting it out there. And so I'll try to correct that now. Sorry. You know, and you go, well, you should have done it, but it was important. And you go, Shane, it's still important. You can still play the game. You still drop all this foolishness beside that going up to the plate and swinging at balls that are coming. The balls of life are still good. For a woman, she's a woman. Sorry. I know she desperately wants to be something else. Because she, and I'll tell you what I think. And I think I'm absolutely right. And she'll make up 1,000 excuses why I'm not right. But I think I'm right. Because for a woman, coming up to the plate and swinging is marriage and family. Getting married to some guy and having children. And raising those children. Having children, I'll tell you that's kind of tricky. Raising them? Trickier yet. That's trickier yet. But that's, and that's the whole thing. You can be on the team, and you can wear the jersey. That's not getting married. It's just having that jersey on and saying, I'm on the team. I'm on your team. And there's a lot to say about that in my belief system. That's what we did. That all happened before we were even born. He's saying, are you going to be on my team or do you want to be on the other team? And Satan, evil Lucifer, sitting there and saying, hey man, dude, come be on my team. We're winners. We'll do whatever it takes to win, man. We'll lie, we'll cheat, we'll steal. We'll do whatever it is that's needed to win the game. And it was good for a bunch of people, and they put on Satan's jersey and said, we're going to play on his team. We don't want to be on Christ's team. We want to be on Satan's team. And guess what? There's only two teams. So even if you don't think you wear the jersey of the bad side, the team that constantly throws bean balls, the one that has paid off the umpire, the one that's done, you know, that does every single thing, every single ball pitched is just dripping with spit. Every single thing they can do to try to make it so you can't really hit that ball, they're gonna do. If you don't wear the jerseys, at the very least, you're contributing to the losing of the other team by not playing at all. Shane has gone so far as to say, you know, I don't know how to spin it into the analogy. She threw away a culture and a belief system that her family, her progenitors, went through much sacrifice and pain and abuse. My dad, not so much so. My mom, honey. Nothing like her family thinks about her religious choices. And she took it, she ran with it, and she's loyal to it, despite the rhetoric against her. And to walk away from it as her granddaughter is just, it is. It's a slap in the face. Now, we're all supposed to just say, well, you know, you got choices. You can do what you want. And that's it. I'm not saying that she can't make choices. She obviously is. You know, I haven't chased her down. I haven't beat this thought out of her. I haven't done, you know, she said, he was mean to me. Well, you were not some wonderful, easy child. You had troubles, but I thought that good would come of it. And I tried to encourage that. every once in a while, we would get into a heat tangle. And I would have to prove to her that I was bigger and more strident than she was. And I had to tell her that I was right and that she was wrong. Didn't do it very often. Well, it came up occasionally. But I'm sorry. We want to compare bedpans. That really comes out at the end of the day. I'm sorry. My IQ is higher than yours is. I test out higher than you do. I certainly make a gobstopper load more money than you do. Now, these aren't the end-all of things. I'm certainly far more respected by more people than you are. And to think that you should be afforded the same respectability that I have? I got my problems. Yeah, I get angry sometimes. Usually in circumstances. Not terribly often in people. Of course, I'm very unhappy with people who show their lowness, their weakness. That really, really, I'm sorry. And I'll do this and say this is just the product of bad wiring. And I try to do better. I'm not sure I ever do a very good job of it at all. When I see people do things that cause them pain, and it's usually from these circumstances are from something that could have been avoided, something that could have been either out of stupidity or out of just bullheaded ignorance. And bullheaded ignorance means you know what the right thing to do is. You've been told the right thing to do is, but by golly, you're going to do it your way. You know, people with good hearts, and I'll be the first one to say my tendency is not that one. It's not to have a particularly good heart. I have some compassion for people, but not to the point to where when I see something, when I see somebody do something stupid and they get hurt by doing something stupid, there's some people who will come and try to comfort them, and I'm not one of those sorts. I'm the first one to get angry and say, "You stupid louse! What were you doing?" So I skew more of kind of the old-fashioned sports coach. It's just as likely to cuff you in the head as to pity you. When you're sitting there, let's say you had told this kid, let's go back to baseball, you told this kid to watch out for that bean ball and to put your darn batting helmet on, your batter's helmet, just in case that idiot pitcher, and I'm perfectly willing to call Satan an idiot, although he's not, conniving, controlled, is good, but regardless. That pitcher, if he decides he wants to hit you in the head with that ball, because if you're stupid enough to say, well, I'm not going to wear that batter's helmet, I'll bat better without the helmet on. Everybody bats better without the helmet on. That's not the point. The point is, change the pitcher.
He wants to take you out. He wants you to never come up to the plate again. Either through fear or injury or whatever else comes on, he doesn't want you to come up to the plate. It doesn't matter how he does it. It doesn't matter how he does it. So you go up to the plate, you come out so you don't have that thing on because you think that you're better than that, or you think you don't need the kind of protection that other people who are much wiser than you are, and your coach should be the first one going, hey, put your helmet on, you moron. And you go, well, I don't like being called moron. That's just not right. He's not being respectful of my choice. He's not being respectful of the kind of person that I want to become. And so Satan gets up there, you know, you get up to the plate, you present yourself, and he says, oh, cool, an idiot. And he throws a beanball right at your head. And you're not, you know, and you're sitting there, a little cocky. And, you don't see it or whatever, and you don't get out of the way, and it just wallops you. And I mean, you know, cut head, you're down the thing, you're screaming, the people in the stands are going, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that! You get mad at Satan for throwing a beanball in a situation where you obviously came up to the plate completely unprepared. Your coach had told you, don't go up there without your helmet on. And so your coach comes out there. And I would be the coach that comes out there. And before I pick you up and dust you off and try to get you back to the dugout, I'm going to kick you. I'm going to kick you the other side of the head and say, what kind of bonehead are you? Why don't you listen to people who know more about things than you do? I know more than my father does about everything. He's just an idiot. He's just a dummy. You go, huh? Just like I said, let's compare bedpan a little bit here. Missy, or whatever, child. If you don't like gender-related things, fine. I'll use a non-gender-related one. Infant. Don't sit here and tell me that you're smarter than I am. I've got so much paperwork that disputes that ignorant idea. And that's all it is. I said, Shayna, you're being belligerently ignorant. You're choosing to go into things stupidly, and you refuse to listen to advice, and your favorite thing to say is, like, you're not treating me right. It's like, Shayna, if you would have listened and paid attention without having to be kicked in the head, then you wouldn't have gotten kicked in the head. You know, everybody claims abuse when anything happens, when you're trying to get through to somebody who just simply will not listen. Or when you give them advice and then they go out and they totally screw your advice and do five other things because they would rather have fun or they would rather fit in with the group. I think that's Shayna's biggest problem is, oh my gosh, she wants to find a group, but it's got to be a group that accepts her the way she is. And the only groups that are going to be doing that are groups with no morals, no standards. But you'll soon find out that they still have some moral standards. There's some things that, I'm sorry, they will, you know, that I'm sorry, life just leaves of all of us. What are your good or bad? thing demands that you keep your promises to him. You and Satan values honesty and loyalty. And I, that was nothing that Shayna really ever got. Or never really grasped. Never understood. She always felt she was a terribly low person. And she wanted an exemption. She wanted a justification. She didn't want to tell the truth. She didn't want to really, you know. But she wanted all the accolades of being a good person without doing any of the work. So now, and that's really sad. It was a good work. Now, I talked in the past tense. And why is it? It's because my time in being an influence in her life is over. My time as her father is over. She took who she once was, and she basically committed suicide on it. And that's that. And I mourn for her. I mourn for what I was hoping and what I thought she had skills, and she did. She had many skills. She had the skills to become. One of her great things was her huge, overriding, it's overarching desire to not be held to any kind of standard. But yet, to have all the accolades of great accomplished people, biggest thing. In the past, I have absolutely no idea what kind of person she is now. She doesn't want to talk. She doesn't want to share it with me. And I don't know. So, it isn't that she's dead. She killed herself. And she made herself dead to anything that she had ever been, to all the relations she had come from. She killed herself to her family. A couple of people still talk to her, although I think that's a short story for Justin. You're going down a road. It was a whole thing of going down the road without. A road that I was not going to travel with. I'm not going to go down this road. And the kind of spite and nastiness she portrayed and that she spewed to all of us when she found out that that was the way it was going to be. She surrounded herself with, I don't know, friends, whatever. Who comforted her, told her that she could basically be who she was again. And good for her. Happy day. And I will welcome back my daughter Shayna if she ever reappears. It's like the prodigal son story. A lot of people have different views of Christ. And I don't think they're particularly accurate at all. Christ told the story of the prodigal son. Took his inheritance, took everything that his parents gave him, squandered, and the shame of the prodigal son took his life. Everything that her ancestors, everybody who came before her that gave her life, gave her everything she had, everything that they even God himself, everything he gave, she just flushed right down the toilet. And that's like getting your inheritance, because that's what your inheritance is all the things that your ancestors, your parents, your grandparents, all their wisdom, all their knowledge, all their things, everything. You pissed it all away. And what the prodigal finds at some point, now some are very prideful, some aren't. But apparently the prodigal son in the story was humbled by his circumstances. He got to the point where he was a vagrant on the streets, apparently. Got to the point where he had to eat out of pig troughs next to pigs. That's tough. And if you take an honest look at yourself, you go, oh my gosh, what have I done? What have I done to myself? I'm an idiot, or whatever. And he remembered his father's house and said, you know what? My father treats his servants pretty well. I know I screwed up being his son, but maybe he'll take me in as a servant, and I can at least be a servant. And everybody knows the story. He comes back, and his father's so happy to see him, puts a coat on him, and puts a ring on him, and says, "Look, my son has returned." And the whole thing about the other son, the older son, the dutiful one, being upset at what, I don't ever get a party. Nobody still kills the fat calf for me. I don't get to wear a ring and have a party. And the father goes, everything that I have. You're okay. You're the birthright. You're all right. I'm not sure yourself. The other son still, his inheritance is gone. Oh, there's no tell. Now, here's the things that you've got to know. Some people try to add stuff to the story or try to portray things differently. The father ends up being like Heavenly Father or Jesus Christ. And that's kind of a Christ thing. Let's take a look at a couple of things from this story. And, people have said, you're going to have, you just have to do whatever you can. You still got to love that child. You go, said, now, if she comes back to herself, even in her breathless state, sad. It's just sad. Come up to a hill. I tried to pass it. No. Anyway. And the prodigal son, the father go chase him down, the son, the father go out and try to rescue him. No, he did not. Here going, what's going on, you know? That prodigal son's father said he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And on that night, there are other parables to handle the whole thing of going out and rescuing the one. And it has more to do with being cheap. My daughter put herself out there. I'm sorry. I consider her more a ravening wolf. And you don't go out there and try to rescue the ravening wolf. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. I'm sure when that kid left and he took his inheritance with him, it was on his father not saying, don't do this stuff. Don't take your young, your impetuous. Don't take your inheritance and throw it away. This is what exactly happened. Here's another parable. Don't cast your pearls before swine. If your kids are acting like swine, don't give them your pearls. Don't give them everything that you value. Don't do that. If they will, they'll destroy it, turn, and rend you. What my daughter did. All the things that she gave me, she used against me. You're an idiot. You're a fool. Join that stupid Joseph Smith cult. Trying to push it off me. And then she said, if you ever come near me again, I'm going to sue you. And you go, there it is. That's my child. She's a pig. And she just displayed it. You tell them, oh, that's just rude to say. And you go, excuse me, that was your behavior. I can only judge a person by their behavior. And there is, you have to judge me. And go, excuse me. That is an upstart. That's wrong. Number one, that's a bad translation. Don't judge unrighteously. Don't judge unjustly. You got to judge. Or else you're going to get them. You're going to get the broker of death. We end up having horrible things happen to yourself. Literature is replete with people who said, I'll judge a situation and try to find wisdom. My wisdom is stay away from shit. The only thing I can do is warn others. Now, they have changed. And I certainly allow that possibility. She has changed enough to come back like the prodigal son and say, hey, can I at least be your servant? Can I at least serve in your house? She hasn't done that. She hasn't said, we would be. You go, okay. That, I have not seen my son coming back from afar. I look for her. I want her to come back. I'm not looking for apologies. I'm not looking for any of that stuff. I just want her to come back to herself. That's one of the big things. I think that's the statement of the prodigal son. They came to themselves. He came to himself and said, oh my gosh, look at what I've done. I would have done better, I would do better going back to the father. Even if it is a service, since I've totally thrown away my right to be a child, which is exactly what she did. She said, I was not the father. I'd like to take. Then I finally said, okay. Spread me. I'm not her father anymore. She will not get what a family should give her from me at this time. It might never. So, okay, let's take a look at Christ. Everybody thinks Christ is going to be this wonderful person who will drop everything and do whatever it takes to chase after and lead with a child that spits in his face. And you're going, no, he never did that. Now, he took the spitting inning. That much we know from the record of his last day. People spit in his face and he just sat there and took it. He did not retaliate. I said, I'm sorry. Did I retaliate against Shayna? No. I gave her what she demanded. Demanded of me, which was to stay away from her. I was like, okay, I'm staying away. Retaliation? No. I have not sought to curtail her life, doing what she wants. She was taught to the best of me, at least, abilities, right from wrong. She was told that these guys, it isn't like she was confused. She didn't know how I felt about it. She knew how I would react to what she was doing. She knew how I would react to it. She put it out that I was giving him a chance to be a stand-up person and to show that he could be a wonderful person and love me in spite of the things that I do. And you go, Shayna, you miscalculated. Or it was a whole calculation. She just wanted to make me look bad. And I'm sorry. Guess what that is? That's satanic. I don't want to say my daughter. My former daughter is a satanic person. But I'm saying that's a satanic activity. It's to entrap people. To put them in a situation for the sole reason of making them look bad. That's evil. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Even other wicked people. If that stuff gets pulled on them, they won't hang with you anymore. Even the evil people won't do that. And that's what got thrown at me. It's, guess what? You don't cast your first before swine. You don't throw yourself into that. It's called wisdom. Just keep your distance. So people say, well, you've got a lover. And you go, no, I don't. I do not. Not in the way that you're thinking. Not in the way that you're thinking. Don't do that. Find yourself in horrible places. Think with horrible circumstances. And you're thinking that God's going to save you from your own stupidity. When it's like, why are you going into a den of thieves and liars? And people who are of a mind to destroy you. My daughter, Shayna, at that time, before I just said, okay, I'm not your father anymore, and you're not my daughter. It is as you wish. Peace. I'm not saying this to try to redeem my daughter particularly. I'm saying this is a warning to others against her, or whatever it is now. And against others like that. Let's go back to baseball. The whole thing is, you got to come up with a plate, you got to swing. And hopefully you'll gain confidence in life over time, and you'll come up with a little more determination to bat against what you might consider to be some pretty sad balls. If Satan thinks that
you're a good hitter, he's going to pitch balls, and he's going to just try to walk you so that you don't get a home run. That's his biggest thing. He just wants to win the game. And it's an individual fight between his team and you. When you're up at bat, you are the only person on your team that's up at bat. Your team can be cheering you from the sidelines, but it's you up at bat. Nobody else can sit there and do it for you. There is no pinch hitter to try to save you. You've got to step up to the plate. You've got to do it. Now, Christ is going to make it so if you're a person that steps up to the plate and swings, he's going to make it so that that's efficacious. He'll let you win. He'll make it so that you can win. You will be on the winning team. But you got to step up to the plate. You've got to bat. People like my former daughter, Shayna, she decided not to step up to the plate. Yet she wants to get all the accolades of a person that does step up to the plate and that does that. She wants to wear the jersey that comes with being that. Or she did. Maybe she did at one time. And she decided to turn on it and say, you know what, I can get the other side's jersey. And I can play ball for them. And you go, yeah, it's easy because guess what? The innings never change. The other team never comes up to bat. That's another interesting part of the analogy. Is that, yeah, your team is always at bat. It's never the other team. They already decided that. They're not interested in having to bat. They are here to be the team you play against. Like the Harlem Globetrotters. The Harlem Globetrotters always played against another team. This is basketball. I got myself a sports analogy. Anyway, I'm not really a sports guy, though. Anyway, they're always playing against the team, and their job was basically to have tricks played on them by the Harlem Globetrotters. The Harlem Globetrotters were the stars. They were the basketball legends, and the other team was just background. And that's what people who follow Satan shows. It says, we just want to be part of the team that they promise will get to win. The sad part is the Harlem Globetrotters always beat the other team. Always beat the other team. Even though the other coach said, hey, yeah, you can come play with us, and at the end of the day, you're going to win. And he lied to you. He lied to you to get you to come play. Don't you feel a fool? Anyway, so I don't know what's happened to my daughter. I can't make wholesale judgments of all LGBTQ people, but that's the team jersey. LGBTQ, it's rainbow colored. You've seen it. Oh, we're so wonderful. And their biggest thing is how inclusive they are. How inclusive they are. And guess what? That's Satan's way of sucking you in. I don't care who you are. If you want to come play on my team, you'll play. And maybe we'll even get some cheering for you.
if that's what you really want. And I think my daughter, my former daughter, Shayna, took down hook, line, and sinker. It said, I think I'm going to work for the other side now. And I find that, to my mind, absolutely reprehensible. She can switch sides again. And I would be very glad if she was. Will I acknowledge her as my daughter? I don't know. That really kind of depends. I don't know. If she repents, yes. This is what life is for. It's for repenting. For figuring things out and repenting. If she repents, will I take her back? I think I will. So, just in case anybody listening to this recording happens to talk to my daughter, or my daughter actually listens to this, I wouldn't be surprised if, just despite me, just to say, oh, I just loathe him, I hate him. And you go, well, but I'm going to listen to what he says so that I can loathe him and hate him even more. And you go, well, that's your choice. Those are your choices. It's not a good idea. You know, you can tell him, well, he deserves it. You go, you know what, Shayna? I'm not even going to approach that. It doesn't really matter whether I deserve it or not. What matters is where are you headed? Where are you going? There's a commandment to honor your father and your mother. And you aren't doing that. Now, you can say all day long that you've gotten rid of your father and your mother, and you've chosen new ones that are more to your liking. I guess you can try that stunt. I don't know if that works or not. I'd be very careful. That doesn't work. Now, and she also says she doesn't believe in God anymore. And, she's pretty much signed on to the other team and said, I will wear your jersey and I will cheer in your cheering squad for the team that I know is going to lose. And that's true. I'm sorry. LGBT people, which my daughter has now said that she is one, they're on the other team. You can say, oh, we're not satanic. And you go, anybody who's not wearing the Christ jersey, they're wearing the other jersey. Everybody's got to have a shirt on. You don't get to pick some other shirt and say that it's just as good. There's only two jerseys for sale. And you can say, but mine's got rainbow colors on it. You go, yeah. So that's one of the many variations of the Satan jersey. Anyway, so if going up the plate batting for a woman is very simple, it's going up and becoming a wife and a mother. Even if you're a bad hitter, let's say that you get married and you and your husband can't have children. That's okay. You're up at the plate and you're swinging. You're trying. If it just never happens, if you just never connect with the ball, that's not the criteria for success. The criteria for sex is, for success, not sex, success is stepping up to the plate and swinging the bat and doing your best with what you've been given. That is what's being asked of you. The sad part of people like Shayna, they don't do it. In Shayna's case, I always felt, and knowing her for as long as I have, except for, 2 years now, she was always seeking for an excuse, an exemption.
that she didn't have to do what was required of other people. I think she saw her brother, her immediately younger brother, Matt, and she was very jealous of him. And the fact that he wasn't held to the same standard as we wanted from her. And you go, yeah, Shayna, he is seriously handicapped. And you're not. You've got your troubles, like I do, like most people have trouble. And you go, but, was I a great example? No. Sometimes I would seek for exemptions, too. But then I decided to just say, you know what? I've got to step up to the plate. I've got to swing. I've got to do what it takes. I'm not going to get an exemption. I'm not going to get some disability thing. It's not going to happen. Probably for the best. Probably for the best. And so I'm not saying I was a fantastic example. We all have our troubles and we all have to get better. We all have to strive toward the goal, stepping up the plate and batting, whether we're successful at it or not. So the problem is now you've got people who are just loitering in the dugout and not really contributing, yet they are on the team. You know, like I said, there's always the teams. Stuff. I'm out of water on the windshield wiper. Okay.
My water down here.
Okay. For a man, it's taking on the responsibility of being a husband and a father. It's all about that. Now, Shane had got the impression that the responsibility of being a father was easier than being a mother. Shayna doesn't like pain, and I think she was scared to death and very traumatized. Lisa thought it would be a good idea. I didn't disagree with her. I didn't think it was a bad idea. That Shayna would be present at the birth of the twin. And Shayna saw it, and she decided she wanted nothing to do with it. And I think it was a combination of a few things that made Shayna so that in this analogy, she didn't want to. She didn't want to step up the plate. She had no intention of ever doing it. Before that time, well, no, I don't know. I guess she was trying to please us or trying to say she was trying to do something. Oops, I'm sorry. I think she was trying in the past to be that person. Somebody convinced her that she didn't have to be that kind of a person. She got to. And it wasn't just that she said, oh, good, now I don't have to have a child. No, she became something of a preacher against it. Like I said, Shayna's got a good leadership bent to her.
Sorry, I'm here. Anyway. Problem is, she's going to get used. And she's turned to the other side. And belligerently so. And it's like, well, okay. She's, I'll leave you alone. Because now, it is not going to do you anything but harm to distance yourself from all these things, from all these good influences, and only listening to new friends, new philosophy, and things like that. It's not going to help you at all. What's that? It's very sad. So, I'm probably going to turn this into something written. I'm going to make a few references to Shane that will probably be about that. If I could come up with a way of doing it without it causing these problems, I would. Anyway, maybe I'll try. And this is probably going to be the next thing I'm going to write. Probably going to be a little longer than an essay. And I'll put it out there. And I'm sure Shana will never read it. Well, maybe she will. I'm often surprised. Evil usually, I don't want to think of myself. My daughter is evil. But she's certainly taken up with that cry. And their tendency is to, it isn't just good enough to go your own way. You have to get others to go your own way. That's why homosexuals and transgenders are so adamant about the fact that their parents and their siblings and everybody, all their old acquaintances must be supportive of them and walk alongside them at pride marches and stuff like that. I think it's terribly important because Satan doesn't care about you. He cares about using you as a tool to destroy others. And that's where unconditional love comes and smacks you in the head. If you have unconditional love for people who have been turned, you're in trouble. Because that will be used to hurt you. That will be used to destroy you. Anyway, okay, time's up. Gotta go. Some people are coming now. It's time to get to it. Have a great day.